Coming up, the latest T-Mobile wireless hotspot, the Dell Venue, the 11-inch version. I'm going to take a look at Republic Wireless's very inexpensive cell phone prices and this odd speaker system. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Nature Box, where you can order great-tasting, healthy snacks delivered right to your door. Forget the vending machine. Get in shape with healthy, delicious treats like Southern Barbecue Sunflower Kernels. Mm-mm. To get 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. Welcome to Before You Buy, the Twit Product Review Show, where we take a look at the latest and greatest products. We use our own staff and get you a real-world experience of what it's like to use these things. And we've got some great stuff for you. We're going to kick things off with a new mobile hotspot, the first LTE hotspot from T-Mobile and Samsung. My producer, Josh Windisch, the guy who produces our Tech Guy Lab site, has a look.
Josh Windisch here for Before You Buy on Twit, and today I've got the Samsung LTE Mobile Hotspot Pro from T-Mobile. It's selling for $168 on T-Mobile's website, but they also give you the option to pay it off over 24 months. They have plans ranging all the way down from 500 megs of data for $20 a month to 10.5 gigs for $70 a month. The hotspot can actually connect up to 10 devices over Wi-Fi, and it can be tethered via USB to your computer. Now, if you take a look at the screen on this hotspot, it's actually a pretty big screen. Unfortunately, though, you can't really do anything with it. You can only look at information. It's not a touch screen. So the only way you can actually configure any of your settings is by logging into the web portal. And that web portal, very slow and sluggish to use. That's where you configure your security settings. They offer WPA2 for your password. And they also have, unfortunately, WPS, which is the dreaded wireless protected setup system that you find on a lot of routers today. Very broken system. But they actually put a button for WPS right next to the power button on the hotspot. So I can't tell you how many times I just wanted to, you know, wake the device up or shut it down, and I initiated the whole startup process for WPS, which was very annoying. I like the design of the hotspot. It is really easy to get fingerprints on, though, and pretty easy to scratch, so be careful of that. But I think the best part of the design of this is this red stripe around the side here. It's not just a red stripe. This is actually a USB to micro USB cable that you can use to charge the hotspot itself. They do include an actual power adapter as well, but you could use this on the go. And it also can charge other devices from the hotspot, so it actually can work as an external battery that you can take with you. Speaking of the battery, that's another big win with this hotspot. It's got a 3100 milliamp hour battery in it, which is enough to get, I got 9 to 10 hours of continuous usage, and you could easily get by for a couple of days before charging it with normal use. The speeds are also very good. I regularly got 15 to 20 megabits per second down and 3 to 5 megabits per second up. And I was able to get USB tethering to work. However, Samsung's drivers crashed my Mac when I installed them. I was able to get it to work successfully several times after that crash. But if you're on a Mac and you plan on using USB tethering, you might run into that bug. It also can connect to your computer to be used as external storage, and that can go up to 64 gigs with a micro SD card. So on to the pros and cons for this hotspot. On the pro side, the battery life is excellent. It also can be used to charge other devices, and it's got good speeds and a reliable connection. The cons: no way of configuring or changing any of your settings on the hotspot itself. You have to use the web portal, which is very slow, and Samsung's drivers for USB tethering crashed my Mac. So buy, try, or don't buy on the hotspot from Samsung. I'm going to give it a buy because in the areas where it really counts, it succeeds. It's got great battery life, the speeds are good. The only word of caution in this may not even need to be said, make sure you've got coverage with T-Mobile where you're at, because that can certainly vary from location to location. But as far as hotspots go, if you need one and you're a T-Mobile subscriber, definitely a buy. For Before You Buy on Twit, I'm Josh Windisch.
I love the idea of these wireless hotspots. It really is a great thing. And if you've got good T-Mobile coverage where you are, as we do here, that's a good deal. Continuing on with Before You Buy with Radford Castro, our director of engineering. We give him all the latest and greatest PCs. You've had some good things to say about the latest Dells, but this one is not a laptop. It's a tablet. Yes. The Venue Pro. We've seen the 8-inch. This is the 11.
Yes, well, it's more 10.6 inches.
10.6, okay. Yeah, they call it 11.
Yeah, they call it 11, making it easier, right? So this is actually an HD screen. It's full 1080p. It's 1920 by 1080 by using IPS. It's using Intel Core, and I'm just going to try to knock out the specs right away.
We should mention this is not an RT tablet. This is full Windows 8.1
Pro. That's a really big difference right here. So
you can't tell just by looking at it.
Nope, not until you actually start playing with the desktop and install some legacy stuff. So that's where it really starts to – you start thinking about what works for you with this.
This can run all Windows software. Yeah, and that's because it's an Intel processor, not an ARM processor. Right. What did they put in this one?
So this one, they have the Intel Atom running at 1.46 gigahertz, 2 gigabytes of RAM. You have about 10-point touch using a pen, so it's pen-enabled. Then you have a dual-band Wi-Fi, and you have your cool webcam, and you actually have 8 megapixels in the back, so that's kind of cool.
10-point touch means you can use all 10 fingers, so it's kind of like the iPad in that respect. And you find it pretty responsive. I'm intrigued on that Atom processor. It's pretty good.
So which is really interesting. Back in the days, I reviewed the Envy, which also used the Atom, and it wasn't that strong then. But for some reason, just playing this tablet by itself, I'm just going to run a couple of things here.
Look at those things. Are all running in the background.
Yeah,
they're
all running stuff in the background, and it's extremely responsive. And remember, this is all full HD, so it's pushing pixels really well. I forgot to mention, too, that this is running Gen 7 Intel graphics, so that's something helps a lot in terms of pushing pixels.
All right. So this must be a Haswell. Is there such a thing as a Haswell Atom?
No, it's just Atom.
Just Atom. All right.
So, but, I mean, it's low power, and that's another thing that's a good point, too, is that the battery life is just incredible on this thing.
How much?
Lasted me for a week on standby. Over usage is about 8 to 9 hours, maybe
that's
about 12
good.
At the most.
That's very
running,
good.
You know, stuff in the background, including games, which was very surprising. So
now it doesn't come with a keyboard. It's really tablet focused.
Yes.
But can you get a keyboard?
I guess you can use it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like $159,
right.
And it has its own battery. It increases the life of the battery up to 15 hours. So
that's
pretty
great.
Ridiculous.
That's a new thing people are doing with these click-on keyboards is adding batteries to the keyboard itself.
Yeah.
Gives you more juice.
And it has the mouse, of course, so it has the trackpad similar to its competing stuff like the... But, I mean, I can do all the normal stuff you could expect to do on Office. This
seems pretty snappy.
Yeah.
You know what amazes me? Windows didn't used to run well in 2 gigs of RAM.
But
none
does.
Of these tablets, have more than 2 gigs. That's pretty standard for a tablet. You find 2 gigs is plenty, even for multiple things in the background.
Well, if I'm running stuff like Photoshop, which I've tried, it still chugs, right? You know, things like that.
Anything with big files are not going to do well.
If you're running some heavy-duty enterprise stuff, then definitely. It's not like you're running SQL Server on this thing. So,
but Windows 8 is tuned in the tablet mode to be smart with memory, be smart with processors, even if something, like you see all those things in the background, none of them are actually using, in most cases, any CPU.
Right, it just stays frozen in memory.
Yeah.
And when you're just
browsing through. Even memory, they'll unload it if they need it.
Pretty much. You know, when we're swapping between, you know, when we're multitasking, we always see it in frozen time, basically almost like a screenshot of what we're seeing. And it just refreshes every time we're going back and forth. But the cool thing is that it's very, very responsive. Even with just 2 gigabytes of RAM. So this particular model has 32 gigabytes.
Of storage.
Right. And
can you add an SD card?
Yes, you can. MicroSD.
Okay.
And up to 64 gigabytes. And it also has USB 3.0, all the normal stuff you'd expect to have. It has HDMI out too, so that's kind of cool. And the question I've always asked myself is this a suitable replacement for my laptop? And actually, kind of yes.
Really?
You know, for about 80% of the apps that I've been running, it does. So then I try to do things like this, like run some games in the background.
They're not going to do well.
I mean, it's not going to do
Forza?
That well. This is actually Asphalt 8.
Okay.
And this is just obviously, you know, 3D running in the background.
Well, you could see the hesitation.
Yeah, you could see the frame rate drop.
Yeah.
And this is just not even running a race at the moment. So you could see that. The Atom and the Gen 7 don't work well together in terms of these type of games.
This would be good for email, web surfing, not great for gaming,
no.
Basic productivity apps, that kind of thing.
So,
how about Skype? Does that work pretty well?
Skype works excellent. And just, you know, since we're talking about Skype, It uses the video camera. Here's a little bit of what we're looking at through the 8-megapixel camera.
I thought it was white noise. It's our carpet.
Yeah, it's the carpet.
All right.
But yeah, it's not bad. I mean, the lens is not too bad. So it gives you an indication of what the photo looks like as well. So I'll show you what that looks like in a bit. But maybe I'll just take a skip on that.
This is not bad. Yeah. It's not bad. Yeah. So pros and cons.
The pros is that... let me just look at my cheat sheet because I just suck at this. It's versatile. And right. The big thing is that it runs full Windows.
Right.
And then the price. The price is the big piece right now. This thing
starts
at $499.
Right. Same as as an iPad.
Yeah.
And that's Wi-Fi only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this tops off at $999, so you have different configurations to work for this.
It's no accident that it's $499. I think they really are saying, look, you could have an iPad with iOS. Right. It's a tablet only. Mm-hmm. Or you can have a real desktop operating system mm-hmm. on your same price.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That almost speaks to the RT stuff because everyone's been kind of thinking RT or desktop,
right.
but this thing is huge to be able to have some sort of desktop power in this kind of price.
Does this come with Office or do you have to buy it?
It does.
It does
come with Office, yes.
Wow.
So that's huge. The other thing, too, is that it just has really good battery life. And for that, I mean, just without the keyboard or anything, it's about 9 to 10 hours, 8 to 10 hours. Even with stuff running in the background, playing games and browsing the web. I even did some benchmarks, if Brian could show some of that stuff right there. It's actually really cool. So here's some stuff running on 3DMark, and it runs well above the category average within this class range. So
it is really even cool. Beating the Surface 2, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, and the Surface 2, mind you, it's running RT, right? I mean,
That's not the Surface Pro, that's the Surface 2.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, wow.
So, I mean,
faster than the iPad, faster than the Surface?
Yeah.
That's nice.
And the battery, too, is very competitive in that level, too.
There's got to be some negatives.
Yes. Negative is that it's a fingerprint magnet, and it generates a lot of nice heat. You can literally cook your eggs on this.
It's a hot fingerprint magnet.
Yeah, definitely. It's a hot fingerprint thing. And it also has some weak brightness to it, so...
It's not very bright, you think?
It's not. This is actually pretty maxed out.
We're sitting in bright studio lights, and it still looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. But in comparison to some of the tablets I've seen...
Okay.
And some of the reviews I've been reading about other people complaining about the brightness over time...
How do you feel about... We looked at the Lenovo Mix, which was an 8-inch tablet last week. Mm-hmm. 8-inch versus 10.6 inches.
It's not that much of a difference. I think really what will really matter is the experience of those apps.
Right.
What do they look like between those resolutions?
Right. So, the resolution is the big difference. This is full HD.
This is full HD, 1920, on an IPS screen. So that's really, really nice.
All right, buy, try, don't buy.
You know, for this price, it's an absolute buy.
$500.
Yeah.
For the Dell Venue 11 Pro, we really like the Venue 8 as well. They've done some good stuff, haven't they?
Yeah.
Whoops, I dropped my nuclear core. Let me just pick that up again. We're going to take a look at this in just a little bit. But first, would you like a snack? You worked very hard, Radford, and I want to offer you a nice, delicious treat from my Nature Box. You know, a lot of times you get a little hungry around this time of day. You want to go to the snack machine, maybe something that's not
all
so
that
good
reviewing.
For you. How about, you got the cherry Grenache granola. Highly recommended. Nature Box is something a little bit different. All nutritionist recommended. That means no HFCs, no high fructose corn. No partially hydrogenated corn oils, artificial sweeteners, flavors or colors, zero trans fat. Most of all, these are unique snacks that taste great. You have one of my favorites. That's a delicious granola. This is the Harvest rice stick crackers made with wild rice, peppery chickpeas. When you go to the site, naturebox.com, you'll be able to actually pick your diet preference. So if you're vegan, they have vegan snacks. If you're gluten-free or soy-free, lactose-free, nut-free, if you don't want GMOs, you can choose. So you could put together your pack or do as we did and get an assortment. When you use our offer code, 50% off your first box, it's as little as a buck a bag. That's less than you would pay for something at the store or even in the snack machine, and it is good for you too. Delicious snacks delivered to your door. You could choose between 3 different subscription options, 3, 6, or 12-month subscriptions. It's a great gift for somebody. And if you've got an office, maybe you're a dentist or a doctor, and you want your employees to have snacks, but you want them to have healthy snacks, this is a great solution. It's called Nature Box, and we're going to get you 50% off your first box. Just use our offer code TWIT. Visit naturebox.com. What do you think? /twit. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So it's a granola. It's covered with cocoa, and then it has little dried cherries in there.
Wow.
I know. I eat them all day, which is probably not what you're supposed to do, but I love them.
You can't say it's evil either.
By the way, your personal snack concierge awaits at naturebox.com. I love it. Nature Box. We get them. We have tons of them now, all over the place.
Cocoa flavored.
And I guess I'm stuck forever. Cocoa flavored. Yeah, isn't that good?
Granola with cherries.
They dust the granola with cocoa. Oh, it's so good. All right, we're gonna move on. We've been playing with this thing. This is not dilithium crystals. This is not a nuclear core. Do you know what this could? I'll tell you what. I'll give you a little hint. See that? JBL. That might tell you something. Shannon Morse Snubs got a chance to look at a number of great, interesting-looking speakers, including this one from JBL. Let's get her review right now.
Hey, guys. I'm Shannon Morse, the producer of Before You Buy, and today I have a roundup of speakers because we love those here. So first off, I have the Knievo ZX100 mini speaker, which costs a total of $18.99, a whole $19. I know, that's so expensive, right? This thing is small, it's portable, and it weighs practically nothing. You can stick this in your back pocket and run around with it. So, it has very, very clear vocals, and unfortunately, even though they have this built-in resonator that's supposed to kick out and give you more low bass whenever you have it sitting on a table, really honestly does not give you that much bass. And it also gets very loud. So if you're listening to podcasts and you run downstairs in your kitchen or something, you can still hear this going off. Now, another thing to think about whenever you're considering buying a super, super cheap speaker is this one is not Bluetooth. It is only attached via the 3.5 millimeter jack. Although one cool thing you can do with this is you can daisy chain it. So if you want to get, say, four of these and put them all together, you can definitely do that if you want. Now, it only gets 6 hours of battery life as well. That's a little low on the low end for me. Now, the pros on this guy. It is compact. It's got a really cool design. I like that it pops out with the resonator, which does help a little bit with the bass, but still very, very bad. And it is low cost at only $20 or less. On the con side, no Bluetooth and practically no bass. So, even though it's only $20, I would have to give this a don't buy. Now, on to the second one, which is from Dream Cheeky. This is called the Cube. So this one costs $34.99, so it's a little bit more expensive, but I gotta say, it's a really cool design, don't you think? This thing comes in a variety of colors. You can get pink, white, black, and red, I believe, off of the Dream Cheeky website. And the playback time is only 5 hours, so very, very low. Honestly, I would probably plug this in and just leave it in my household. Although this one is Bluetooth, so we're lucky about that, and it does have a speakerphone built in, so if you want to make calls, you can do that directly through here. And it has all those different colors available, so it is a very, very fun speaker. Now, as far as the playback goes, it does have a lot more bass than the Knievo one does. It is very clear, but unfortunately, when I turned it up really loud, I could hear a little bit of static in the background of my songs and even my podcasts. So, the pros and cons in this one. Pros, it is a very cool design, but on the cons, it is staticky, and it's got a low playtime. Nah, don't buy. So our next one is Braven, the Braven 710. We all love Braven around here. They pretty much always get buys. This one costs $169.99, so it is on the higher end of portable Bluetooth speakers. We reviewed a few with Brian the other week, and this one's definitely up there as well. But with that price also comes a lot of really cool features, aka it has NFC available on it, so you can tap your phone and start playing through NFC. It also has Bluetooth and a speakerphone, so lots of really cool compatibility choices for you if you want those options with your phone. It also has 12 hours of battery life instead of 5 or 6. That is really awesome, and if I better put this thing down before I throw this brick at somebody because it's so cool. It's very cool. It's got a very modern design. It has aircraft grade aluminum. It is a little bit heavier, so I wouldn't necessarily take it with me everywhere, but it is very nice. As far as the sound quality goes, very clear on the vocals with my podcast, and as far as listening to really cool bass on Smashing Pumpkins and Shirley Bassey, it sounded good. I very much enjoyed it. Now, on the pros and cons of this one, very long playtime. Thank you, Braven. I love you guys. It also has NFC, which is super fun, and I haven't seen that a lot with these speakers, and the sound quality is excellent. On the cons, I'm gonna say none, because it's a good speaker. I like it. Way to go, Braven. And of course, if this one was a buy, try or don't buy, I'd say it's a buy, definitely. Now my last one. This one's a little bit different. It's definitely a little odd, but it's really cool. The JBL Pulse. This one costs $199.95, so it is on par with the speakers that Brian had reviewed previously. As far as the sound quality on this one goes, it is definitely very comparable to the Braven. However, I did notice a little bit of a difference with the bass. It sounded a little bit more muddy. It didn't sound as clear to me as it did with the Braven speaker. But as far as the JBL goes with clarity, you can get it very, very loud, and podcasts sound beautiful on it. So I was very, very happy with those. The interesting thing about this one is it has LEDs built in, which is kind of odd. But it adds a little bit of fun whenever you're listening to your music or listening to your podcast. You can actually see when people are speaking and you can see the rhythm of the music. It's not something that we have seen a lot in speakers. In fact, I don't think we've seen that at all with speakers quite yet. They do have a customizable app for iPhone, and I just checked and they have an Android app as well called JBL, which you can download and change different light colors, and you can play music directly from those apps. So that's pretty cool as well. And of course, it is Bluetooth. Although I guess I didn't really have to tell you that everything's Bluetooth these days, except for the Kinevo, apparently. Pros, very cool design. Really, really liked it. It has a pretty good battery. I was able to get about 7 hours or so of playtime when I have the LEDs on. And the cons, the bass is a little bit shallow. It's just a little bit less than the Braven. But overall, I gotta say, It's very fun. It's a really enjoyable experience, and I kind of just wish that they would include better battery life on it, but I'm still going to give it a buy because it's very fun. So this was my roundup of 4 very different speakers for every kind of person in the entire world and what have you. I hope you enjoyed it. For more coverage from us, I'm Shannon Morse. You can go over to twit.tv/BYB. I hope you enjoyed it. Bye.
Nice.
Oh, that is something. Look at that. Look at that glow, huh?
That's pretty cool.
That's 83 million gigawatts of power right there. You could
1.21 gigawatts.
You could take off in a DeLorean. Wait a minute. Did it just go? Did it just go off? All right. Ooh. Thank you, Shannon. Shannon Moore snubs. She produces this show. She's also a regular on Techzilla on Revision 3. Coming up, I'm going to review the Republic Wireless Phone Company. Can they possibly live up to their promise of great service at a low price? But first, Patrick Delahanty is here. We gave him the LightScribe 3 smart pen, a smart pen for a smart fellow. Let's see what he thought.
Hi, I'm Patrick Delahanty, web engineer here at Twit, and I'm reviewing the LiveScribe 3 smart pen. The LiveScribe 3 is an actual pen that you use to write in a special notebook. And the notebook has these little dots and some sort of electronic magic in there where anything you draw will show up on your iPad or iPhone using their LiveScribe Plus app. The LiveScribe Plus app is available for free in the App Store. It's not going to be of any use to you unless you have the pen, but when you use this app, you can draw in the notebook and then open up your iPad or iPhone later, and any notes or drawings you've made in the notebook will be on your iPad. The notebook also allows you to make audio recordings while you take notes so that you can provide your own transcription or additional notes as you do a drawing or you write the text. And you can play those back later with what they call a pen cast. You can also share the notes using the built-in iOS sharing through mail, or put it on Dropbox. You could put it in Evernote. And actually, the pro version of the LiveScribe pen comes with a year's subscription to Evernote, which is a $45 value. The pro version also comes with the leather portfolio and 2 ink cartridges instead of just 1. For anything you've written in the notebook, you can also have it translated into copyable text. It recognizes English, but for something written in Russian, it doesn't quite understand what's going on. The LiveScribe 3 Smart Pen sells for $149.95. The Pro Edition is $199.95. You can buy another journal for $15, and that includes 198 pages. And if you need more ink, you can get an 8-pack for $9.95. Pros and cons: this is a very easy-to-use pen. Both me and my girlfriend have used it, and we both love it and think it's great for writing notes in the iPad. It's a very natural-acting pen because it's an actual pen. It's reasonably priced. And they have control buttons on the paper to control the voice recording, so you don't have to go to the iPad app to do that. For cons, it sometimes leaves trails when you draw very fast, and it seems to be more focused on note-taking than actual drawing. So buy, try, or don't buy, this is a definite buy. I asked my girlfriend, who's a professional artist, to try this out. She loves it, and she wants one. And I think it's pretty cool, too, so definite buy. For Twit, I'm Patrick, and this is the LiveScribe 3 Smart Pen.
A buy for the LightScribe from Patrick Delahanty. Patrick is our in-house programmer, right, Rand?
Yes.
Let's do this. Here, I don't know. I don't understand. We put him in a closet. He sits there all day. He comes out at the end and says, thanks very much.
Swiss Army knife.
He does. I did notice he took a nature box with him the other day. So I've been reading a lot. And in fact, I know you have too, about Republic Wireless, because people have been asking me a lot about them. One of the reasons they ask is because Republic Wireless is offering a Moto X, a very affordable price Moto X, and very affordable plans. That's because Republic Wireless, see, $299 for the, and that's an unlocked Moto X, by the way, $299 for the Moto X. And then the plans include data, they include texting, they include phone calls, and at a variety of prices. If you have Wi-Fi, you could do it Wi-Fi only, and the cost is really low. Show the pricing plans there, Brian Burnett, because there are a variety of them. You can get unlimited 3G data for, I think it's $25, unlimited 4G data for $40 a month. So it's very affordable. To me, there were a couple of questions about this. First of all, you know I love the Moto X. It's the only phone they offer. You have to get a Moto X. But second, I was intrigued by their proposition that you can save money by using Wi-Fi whenever you're in a Wi-Fi access spot. Usually that's home and that's at work. That means you'd only have to use the cell connection for texting, for data, and for phone calls when you're on the road. That raised a lot of interesting questions for me. They use Sprint. So if Sprint's good in your area, when you're on the road, it's going to be just like a regular smartphone. But the big question for me is, what if I'm on a call at work and I walk out the door, walk down the street, now I'm out of Wi-Fi, how is that transition handled? They're using specialized software in the Moto X. Oh. And the way I did this is you don't notice that they're using specialized software. It's completely transparent to you. You use the regular, phone calling thing, the Android phone device to make the phone call. If you're in Wi-Fi, as I am now, it'll place the call over the internet. But how does the handoff work? So I made a recording. I was in the house. Go ahead and play that, Brian.
All right, I'm going to start this test of the Republic Wireless Moto X inside near my Wi-Fi access.
So this is Wi-Fi only.
Now I'm walking a little bit farther away from it. And what we're going to do is get in the car and actually drive away and see if we can maintain the car.
Now, I edited this for length, but I'm actually on the phone
right now.
And this is a continuous call.
Okay.
And at this point, I am outside the Wi-Fi range, I would guess.
The handoff completely transparent.
Still hearing the sound of my voice. That's a pretty good sign that Public Wireless was able to make the handoff. And a smooth handoff is really, I think, the ultimate test of this phone. The sound quality on Wi-Fi is good.
You can hear the
course,
sound quality.
Right. On Sprint.
I think it was marginally better on Sprint than it was on Wi-Fi. But that's also because I was in the car and it was a better soundproof environment.
Between Wi-Fi and Sprint. I am well away now from the house, about a quarter of a mile, so there's no way I'm getting any Wi-Fi signal. Pretty interesting test of the Republic Wireless system.
It didn't drop at all, and it hasn't dropped at all in my testing. I don't have to review the Moto X. You know I love it. I think it's a great phone. The one catch on this is the Moto X on Republic Wireless is not exactly the same when it comes to the version. They're using Android 4.2.2. Now, I'm up to KitKat already on my AT&T Moto X and my unlocked Moto X. And I think the reason that they are slower to update, and in fact, may never update, is because they've got special phone calling software on here to make that Wi-Fi transition, the handoff between Wi-Fi and the Sprint network. And that has to be upgraded with the upgrade. So I suspect that that's why you're not seeing KitKat on here. If you can live with the fact that you're still only at 4.2.2 Jelly Bean, in every other respect, this is a full Moto X phone. The price is right, $299. It's unlocked. And the Republic Wireless service is great. Texting, voice calls, all work transparently, seamlessly between your Wi-Fi and your Sprint. You could choose the plan that you want. The most expensive plan they offer is $40 a month. There is a unlimited Wi-Fi version, talk, text, and data, if you never need cell coverage, for $5 a month. This would be a great phone for somebody well, doesn't make phone calls outside the house or the office. Mm-hmm. Definitely a buy for Republic Wireless. The pros, it's a great phone at a great price. Phone service exactly as you'd expect. The cons are it's Jelly Bean, not Kit Kat. And I suspect may stay Jelly Bean for some time to come. Definitely a buy on the Republic Wireless. If Sprint works well in your area, you should try it.
That's a relatively new company, right?
They're brand new, and this is their first product. And, you know, we see a lot of MVNOs. That's what Ting was or is, a mobile virtual network operator. They resell carrier service. T-Mobile also offers Wi-Fi calling. I've used it, and I've not been so happy with it. Now, admittedly, I have a strong Wi-Fi signal in the house. But you notice the thing that I love is as you move out of the Wi-Fi range, the signal gets weaker and weaker. Somewhere, seamlessly, I couldn't hear it, there's a handoff from Wi-Fi to cellular, and it did it perfectly. So
T-Mobile
tried
to do something like that.
Yeah, T-Mobile's, I don't use their Wi-Fi calling because I find it unreliable.
Yeah, the funny thing is, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was on a lot of those carriers, so T-Mobile, Sprint, but they all have those issues when you're trying to transfer from, you know, the cell tower to Wi-Fi, and it's never seamless. But like
you heard
seeing,
it.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it myself. That's why I recorded it, so you could could hear it. I hope they do the Moto G, which is the low-priced one. That'd be great to see a $179 solution. Obviously, people who are going to go with Republic Wireless are looking for low-cost phones. This would be great for a kid, too, who has Wi-Fi at school or Wi-Fi at home and doesn't need a high-quality data. You get the 3G service. That'd be just fine for anything they wanted to do outside. And, of course, your number's transportable. You get a real phone number. It's just like any other cell phone service. Hey, I want to thank you, Radford Castro, Shannon Morse, Patrick Delahanty, and Brian Burnett for – was it Brian? Who did the other review? I'm missing somebody. Anyway.
Josh.
I miss him every time. He's only this big. Josh Windisch for your reviews today. And I want to thank you for joining us. We do Before You Buy every Tuesday afternoon after Security Now. And, of course, you can get all of our reviews in a number of different ways. Each individual review is put up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. We also put the full 30 to 45-minute show up there and on our website, twit.tv/BYB. The reason we put individual reviews up is, A, we can do them unedited so you can see the full review, but also so you can share it with family and friends. Maybe somebody you know interested in this phone, you can just share the review on the YouTube site. If you have a suggestion for something you'd like to see us review, next week I'm going to review this. This is the narrative clip that has taken this whole time. It's every 30 seconds. I've been taking pictures as we speak. Yes, it got you in your jammies. We'll be talking about that next week. But if there's something you'd like me to review or any of us to review, BYB@twit.tv. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy. Bye-bye.